Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Today I want to talk about the mercy of God. And we see that here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I think it's important for us to see how God is, and you know, He hasn't changed. God was offering mercy all the way in the Old Testament. He offers mercy still today. God is desiring to save. That has been His desire the whole time. And His mercy, you can see it in your life. If you look, you're going to find it. You're going to see it in your life. And so I want to go through what it talks about here. And this is about a man, a king named Manasseh. And this king Manasseh was a very wicked man. And so let's start. I'll just read verse 9 to get into it here. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 9 says, "So Manasseh..." This is after it makes a whole list of what Manasseh was doing. It says, "So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel." This was Manasseh. He was a bad king. He was a wicked man. You think, man, how bad was he? I mean, it says that he caused Judah to err and he caused them to do worse than the heathen that were before them. God drove out the heathen that were before them. It says He destroyed them because of their wickedness. It had amounted and continued to amount until finally God destroyed them. And then it says this man, Manasseh, this king, caused them to do worse things than they were doing. That's how wicked Manasseh was. I mean, it's hard to really grasp how wicked Manasseh was. But just for a few examples that it talks about here, he started reigning when he was 12 years old, Manasseh. And he reigned for 55 years. He had a good long reign. This is a good long time of doing evil, of being really wicked and guiding them down the wrong way. 55 years of reign from him, and he was doing wicked things. It says that he built altars and he built idols of pagan gods in the temple at Jerusalem. That means the temple that was dedicated to God, he actually took and built altars in that temple to other gods. That's how wicked he was. He built, Kings talks about building a temple to Asherah, which was the goddess of fertility. And you know, the way the heathen in that time did a lot of worshiping of the goddess of fertility was temple prostitution. So it's possible that that was going on in the temple in Jerusalem. This is how wicked King Manasseh was. He was very wicked. He was doing things worse than the heathen that God had destroyed. You know, it says, I'll read it there. In verse 6, it says, "He caused his children to pass through the fire." There was a type of worshiping where they would sacrifice their children through fire towards these gods. This is what he was willing to do. He was willing to sacrifice his children through fire to worship these false gods. There's some depictions of them. I'm not sure exactly how that works, how they would do this through fire, but one says that there was an idol of this god that had his hands sticking out, and they would put fire under his hands and it would heat up those hands so hot that it was burning, and they would lay the child, the newborn babies, on those hands for it to burn alive. And they would beat the drums to sound out the screams. And that's how they would worship their God. That's how they would sacrifice to their God. And he was doing these things, passing his children through the fire to worship pagan gods. That's Manasseh. That's how wicked he was. You know, it says that he was causing others to follow in his errors. He, right, made Judah to err. So it's not only just him. You know, when one person is just going off and doing the wrong thing, it's like, man, that's sad. It's sad to hear. It's sad to see. But what if that one person is actually causing a whole lot of other people to follow in that error? That just makes it a whole lot worse. That's Manasseh. Manasseh was a wicked king. Really, I mean, I can't even think about how we would react. We talk a little bit about government and how bad government is. I don't know how we would react if we saw the kings doing this type of stuff and sacrificing their children in such a horrible way. Well, we won't get into that, but I think there are things similar to that today. But this is how wicked this king was. King Manasseh was a wicked man. He was a wicked king. And that's what it says there. It says he caused them to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And what do we expect from God out of this? Would we expect God to destroy him right away? I think a lot of us would, probably. We probably wouldn't tolerate it. If we had the possibility, we would probably have destroyed Manasseh long ago. But what do we see God did with Manasseh? We'll see that in verse 10. It says, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." You know what the Lord was doing while Manasseh was in sin and in wickedness and just completely profaning the temple and doing these sacrifices that were unholy, all these things? God was reaching out. God was making an effort to reach out to Manasseh to tell him the wrong that he was doing and to get him to turn, to get him to repent, to get him to come back. He was trying to extend his mercy to Manasseh and he was speaking to him. And yet it says, they did not hearken. But that's what God was doing. God wasn't quick to just judge and destroy him. God wanted to help him. God wanted to restore him. God wanted to fix him. God wanted to reach out his arm. And you know, the Bible says that the arm of the Lord is extended because he wants to save. That's what we see in the Lord. This wicked man was still getting the effort put out by God trying to bring him back. It says the Lord was speaking. He spoke to them. The Lord was seeking them and trying to get their attention, but they weren't wanting to listen. But you know, that's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is reaching out.
It's true.
The Lord really is reaching out. And boy, you may look at yourself and compare yourself with Manasseh. Maybe you don't think you're at that level, but boy, your wickedness probably does compare to some of it. And guess what we see from God? God is continually trying to reach out to you to extend mercy upon you. He's speaking to you. You know, God speaks in different ways. God speaks through his word. You know how amazing it is that we need to realize the privilege that you get to carry a Bible around and you could open it anywhere, anytime, and you could read it. That's a privilege. That's a privilege that you have to read the Word of God, because the Word of God is actually God trying to speak to you. He's trying to tell you some stuff. And you know, through the Word of God, you can get a whole lot. It's a whole lot of benefit from the Word of God. And there's places that don't have that benefit that you have. But if you have the Word of God, that's God speaking to you. He's wanting to reach out and speak to you. He's wanting to touch you. He's wanting to help you. He's wanting to teach you. You could download a Bible app and read the Word of God on your phone freely. They can't do that in North Korea, but you can do that here. You should recognize God has blessed you because he's trying to speak to you. Even though you're in wickedness, even though sometimes you just run off and you do your thing and you're living against God and you're in rebellion towards God, we still see God saying, "Here, I have my word. I want you to read and I want you to know me and I want to speak to you. I want to give you guidance." And the word of God is guidance. It's a lamp unto our feet. You know, the Word of God will actually bless you in your life. You know, if you're not being a good father, you can read the Word of God and you can learn how to be a good parent. You can learn how to be a good husband. You can learn how to be a good wife and a good son, a good child. You can learn so much from the Word of God. This is God. You know, He created us. He created you. He's the designer. And He leaves you a handbook. He says, listen, here it is. We want the best for your life. I'm reaching out to you and I'm speaking to you. And this is good for you and I can help you. But we don't want to hearken. But through His Word, He's reaching out to us and He's speaking to us and He wants us to hear. You know what His Word says? Because it's not only a privilege in the physical life, and I think it is. The Word of God will tell you to run from alcohol and wine. You get into that, into that vice, and you start looking at that. It's gonna harm you. It's gonna hurt you. And He says, just stay away from that. Woe is the man that's upon those things. Stay away from that. And that would be good advice for you, and it'll help you. Talks about staying away from the woman that's trying to seduce you, right? Stay focused on your wife. Man, if you listen to the Word of God, if you allow the Word of God to speak to you, He will help you in your life. But the Word of God really goes further than that, and He wants to talk to you, and He wants to tell you how destructive sin is. Sin is destructive. And it's not only destructive for your physical life, because it is destructive for your physical life and what happens here, but it's destructive in such a greater way. Sin separates you from God. This is the spiritual thing that sin, the spiritual consequence that sin has. It separates you from God, and then you're going to have eternal consequences because there is condemnation because of your sin. And that's really what the Word of God is speaking out to you about. The Word of God is really shouting out and trying to tell you, hey, you need to wake up because you are in sin and it is going to condemn your soul. And the Word of God has to tell us that because we're so forgetful. We don't even keep that in mind. A lot of times we're not thinking about spiritual application. We're not thinking about how sin affects our spirit. We're just thinking about what we can see. But the Word of God is really clear, and it continually teaches us how horrible the consequences of sin are to our spirit. It will do spiritual harm, and He's trying to get our attention. And the Word of God really is a way that God speaks to us, and you have that right there. You have you can go down to the dollar store and buy a Bible for a dollar. Have it in your car. Have it in your pocket. Have it all in every room of your house. You could have the Word of God freely so that He can speak to you. But some of the saddest words are what it says right there. It says they would not hearken. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to pay attention. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to apply what He said. They didn't care about what God was saying. God spoke to them, but they didn't care. You know, not only does He send the Word of His Word, but the Bible teaches that He sends messengers. And these messengers are a way for God to communicate to you. You know, He sent a bunch of prophets to these kings, and He sent prophets probably to Manasseh, and He would send those prophets, and those prophets would preach the Word, those prophets would tell them what God was telling them, and they were telling them, return from your evil ways. They were telling Manasseh, hey, this is not right, you shouldn't be doing this. Hezekiah, Manasseh's father, he took away all those altars, he tore them down, and Manasseh built them right back up. You know what the prophets were saying? You're doing wrong. And they were expecting them to listen. And you know what? God sends messengers. God sends preachers. God sends preachers to preach the Word of God, which gives us a clarity of what God's Word is. It's about sin that has really affected your life and affected your spirit. And you know what? There's an answer for that. The answer is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ who died for those sins, and all He asks is that you believe in Him and you will be saved. This gospel is what Christ told us to go preach and take to the whole world. You wanna verify that God is speaking to us? You wanna know that God is speaking? Well, just think about how far the gospel has spread. The gospel's gone to the whole world. I mean, the gospel. God said, hey, take this to the whole world, and it's been done. People get up, and we've got missionaries. Missionaries get up, and they'll go to Poland whenever it's an opportunity. They'll go to Mexico. They'll go to the ends of the world to reach people with the gospel, because God speaks to people. God speaks to them when? When they're in sin. When they're not looking for Him. When they're in their way and they're in their error and they are doing worse than maybe the people before them, God still extends. He reaches out with His arm and wants to save them. And He speaks to them. And He gives messages. He gives the gospel. And He sends it to be preached. And He's extending that. Not only does He speak to us with His word, not only does He speak to us with actual messengers. Somebody might actually come and give you a tract and start talking to you. Or knock on your door and start talking to you about God. Not only that, God speaks to us through His goodness. You know, the Bible says that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Amen. That's what God is trying to communicate when He is good to you. And what we're saying, you know, His mercies are new every morning. This is true. Guess what? If you're alive this morning, it's because of His mercy, and you have to say it's because He's good. Amen. And God being good to you should communicate something. It should tell you, hey, God wants you to repent. God wants you to get right with Him. That's what God's goodness is trying to tell you. God's goodness is trying to lead you to repentance. But how sad when we confuse the goodness of God with His approval. A lot of times we are living in sin, and whenever we see the goodness of God, we see blessings, we feel comfortable, we have health, we have food, we have all we need, we have a good job, we're living in sin, we think, well, God must approve of my life. God's blessing me, obviously, I'm doing something right. We think that God giving us goodness is His approval on our life, and that might be a mistake. Think about this man, Manasseh. He had a 55-year reign. That didn't happen often. 55 years? That's a long time. I mean, that's a blessed thing. He was blessed. He was given a long time to reign in Jerusalem. Was God approving of his life? No. No. You're in sin. You're in wickedness. And you think, God doesn't think much of it. It's not that bad. It's obviously not that bad. I haven't been struck down by lightning yet. And you just continue in sin thinking, it's not that horrible. Obviously, it's not that bad. God doesn't disapprove that much because, hey, I'm blessed. But God might actually be very offended at your sin. God might actually be very afflicted with your sin. And the truth is, it's just His patience and long-suffering that He hasn't destroyed you as He destroyed those others. Don't confuse His goodness with approval. God's goodness is a message. He's communicating. He's speaking to you. And what He's telling you is He wants you to repent and get right with Him. I think Manasseh received all of these. Manasseh received the word of God. He had the word of God. Manasseh received messengers that would tell him. Manasseh was given goodness by God so that he could reign for 55 years, and he still was stubborn in his way. It says at the end of verse 10, but they would not hearken. They were given the answer. They were told what to do. God was reaching out. God was telling them. God was speaking to them. God was offering forgiveness. God was offering them a solution. God was telling them to return. And they did not want to listen. They did not want to hear. And Who knows why we do that? But I think we all can see that we are all in this same mindset sometime. We do not want to listen when God is speaking to us. We don't want to hear when God is telling us. God's saying, hey, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And we're just thinking, we're just going to continue in the evil ways that we're doing. And we don't want to listen to God. We don't want to listen to God. Maybe because we're just indifferent. We just don't care about what God thinks. We don't care about what God says. We don't care about what God's opinion is. We don't care about what He said. You should care about what God says. God's Word is the ultimate truth. God's Word is the ultimate authority. You should care about what God says. And you should be relieved and just enthralled that God would even consider speaking to you. Amen. And reaching out to you. Maybe we don't want to hearken, we don't want to listen because we're distracted. That could be. We got so many distractions. There's so many other things that captivate our attention that God doesn't have our attention. There's so many other things that we're looking at, that we're enthralled with, that we get so into that we do not pay attention to God when He's speaking to us. He's trying to deal with you. He's trying to tell you to return. He's trying to help you out. He's trying to get you back. But you're too distracted with all these other things. Maybe it's time to, hey, dedicate some time to figure out what does God want to say to me? And I'm going to listen. Let's have an ear. Let's open our ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Why don't you listen to what God is saying? Maybe it's the love of pleasure. Men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you know, sometimes, strange as it is, men love wickedness. We love our wickedness. We love our sin. Oh, it's a mental illness because we know sin is a problem. We know sin is what destroys. Sin is what's brought all the problems that you have in your life. It's because of sin. 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 And yet, we love it. Amen. We like it. We enjoy it. We think about it. We want to continue in it. There's something wrong with us.
Amen.
And because we love our sin, we don't want to listen to God when He tells us to turn from our sin. Amen. Oh God, talk to me. Talk to me. Tell me stuff. But don't tell me that. Don't tell me to give this up. What, you want me to stop? What? How would you expect me? Why would you demand of me? We don't want to listen to what God actually wants to tell us. Because we like it. We like what we have. Maybe that's what's holding us back. Maybe that's why we don't want to hearken. Whatever it is, that's what happened to Manasseh. The Lord spoke to him and he didn't want to listen.
Amen.
He didn't want to hear. And sometimes we're in that position too.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to listen to God. But this is where I want to talk about the mercy of affliction. The mercy of affliction. And that's found in verse 11. It says, after God reached out, after God spoke to him, and in that you see so much mercy. But after that, he still didn't want to hear God. He still didn't listen to God. What would God do? God could just crush him at that moment. Okay, I've already extended you my arm. I've sent you my word. I've sent you my messengers. I've sent you my goodness so that you could repent. And you still don't repent? It's time to destroy you. No. God says, I'm going to send another mercy. I'll send him affliction. It says in verse 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. It wasn't until he was in affliction that he listened to God. Do you realize that the affliction that God sent him was another mercy, giving him another chance? Hey, if he's not going to listen to my word or my messengers, if he's not going to listen to me when I do something good for him, maybe he'll listen when I send him affliction. Affliction might be a mercy of God. Sometimes we think, man, why am I so afflicted? And we think, some people, when they get in a really bad place, sometimes we think, well, God must hate us. God must hate us. That's not true.
Amen.
If God allows you to go through affliction, He might just be trying to get your attention.
Amen.
Because destruction would be worse for you. And so He says, hey, maybe there's another opportunity. If I send you some affliction, maybe then you'll turn to Me.
Yeah.
It might be another attempt that God is trying to get your attention when He sends affliction. And the Lord sent affliction to him. He was captured in thorns and fetters and carried off to Babylon. And finally, he thinks, I should listen to God. I should see God. I need to get right with God. Finally. You know, if you wanted to come to this point where God has to send affliction before you answer Him, that's your decision, I guess. But why wait? God is sending clear things. God is doing things. You know, it's like when you're raising children. You want to raise them with you know, let's do it the easy way, right? Let's just do it the easy way. I'll tell you what to do. Ah, well, we wish they would just do it on the first try, you know, but no, we have to repeat it, or we have to do this, or we might even be treating them really good. And a lot of times you see that treating them really nice and gentle, you'd hope they would do things right, but it doesn't work. Every once in a while, you just have to finally say, listen, I have to pull out the big guns. I have to pull out the difficult, the affliction, because it's like you won't learn unless there's pain involved. And it's the same way with us in our life. God has given us all the good stuff. He gives us His Word. He gives us the messengers. He gives us goodness. And we just continue on our way, running the wrong way, getting worse into sin, deeper into problems, full of wickedness. And God says, well, maybe there's another chance. I'll send them some affliction. And He sent this man affliction, and this man in his affliction, he besought the Lord.
Amen.
That's a good thing.
Amen.
That's a good thing. If you do find yourself in affliction, don't blame God, or don't accuse God of being hating towards you. God is full of mercy.
Amen.
If you find yourself in affliction, it may be that He's just giving you another chance for you to turn to Him.
Amen.
That might be. He's giving you another chance. You know, the real sad thing would be, and it does happen, is that even in affliction, they still don't turn to God. This is amazing about Manasseh, because in his affliction, at least in his affliction, he did turn to God. But so many people, in their affliction, they still run further and further. They get more stubborn. They get more hard-hearted, and they don't want to hear God. Don't let that be you. God sends affliction your way. Let that wake you up right away. I want to be the one that, hey, as little affliction as necessary, I want to answer. Lord, as soon as you send me some affliction, I want to wake up. God wants you to get right with Him. And that's why He's speaking to you. And maybe the last chance, the last effort, the last attempt is going to be sending some affliction so that you will respond. That's what happened to Manasseh. And Manasseh responded. And look at his response. Manasseh, what did he do? It said he besought the Lord. He sought Him. He finally caught His attention, and he besought the Lord. He looked for Him. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He sought God, and he humbled himself before Him. And you know, that's the answer. That's the answer. The answer is you come before God, and you humble yourself before Him.
Amen.
You know, Jesus says that there are two men that went up to the temple to pray. One man, he went up in his kind of religious pride, saying, well, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I tithe and I do these things and I do this. And I, you know, we would say, I go to church and I give offerings. And Lord, I pray in the mornings and I do this and I do that. Oh, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like those men that are drunkards. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like those men that are this and that. God says, no, that's not the man that goes away justified. But the man that came up to the same temple, to the same place, all he could do is he couldn't even lift up his eyes. He had to humble himself and he had to say, Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized his sin and he humbled himself before God. Jesus said, this man went justified.
Amen. True.
Jesus seeks for us to humble ourselves before him. And you know, when we realize the wickedness in our life, when we realize the sin that we've committed before God, it should be an automatic, easy way for us to humble ourselves. How can we not be humble whenever we see ourselves before a holy God and the sin that we are, the way we think, the mindset, the things we do? How can we not humble ourselves before God? But if we humble, God will listen. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we can come before God humbly, and he can restore us. Look at what happened to this man. In verse 13, after he sought the Lord in his affliction, it says he prayed unto him. He prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him. So this man prayed, and God was entreated of him and heard his supplications and brought him to Jerusalem again into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. God restored him to the kingdom again. He was actually taken out. He was taken away to Babylon. He was there in fetters, and God heard his prayer and restored him back to Jerusalem. Whoa. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think it's amazing just to think that when he prayed, God listened. He prayed and God listened. Do we remember, right? Who we're talking about? Manasseh, this man who was doing horrible, wicked things. This man, after hearing the word of God, after receiving all the goodness of God and rejecting God and not listening to God, after all of that, he prays and God listens to him. You know, if you're in here today and you think, boy, the things I've done, I could never be forgiven for. You don't have to think that way. God was willing to restore, and God was able to restore Manasseh. Listen, he can restore you also. He can restore you. And no matter what sin it is that you think is holding you back, you think, no, I can't turn around to God anymore. I've gone too far. There's no way God would accept me now. That's not true. God can and God will accept you. He says that anybody that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He will not cast you out. If you're willing to humble yourself and pray to him, he says, I will save you. I will forgive you. You know, the only reason that we have this promise, the only reason we have this surety that if you come to Jesus, he can forgive you, that he can forgive you of any sin, is because of what he did on the cross. It's because Jesus, listen, this is God himself provided himself a sacrifice. He didn't send somebody else. He didn't say, I'll put it on somebody else. No, he himself. The Bible says that he rescued us, the church, and he paid the price with his own blood. So that Jesus took upon himself, upon his body. It was upon his self. He took upon himself our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. What in the world? How is this possible? Wicked sinners humbling themselves after all the rejection, after all the running, after all the wickedness, they can humble themselves and pray to God and God will listen.
Amen.
and God would restore. You know, God can restore the relationship that you lost through sin. God can restore the relationship that you lost as you kept running down that wrong road, that wrong path. God can restore that relationship. He paid the price in order to do it. No matter what it is, He's still extending His arm. God is still speaking today. He's still speaking to you. He's still, if you have breath, if you have life, guess what? The invitation still stands. He's telling you, He's saying, here I am. Come back to me. Return. Turn ye. And I will save you. It says that He wants to abundantly pardon. And you need abundant pardon because you've been an abundant wicked sinner.
Amen.
Humble yourself and come before Him and He will in no wise cast you out.
Amen.
What amazing mercy was offered to this man, Manasseh.
Amen.
But that same mercy is still extended today for you. If you're a sinner, which you are by the way, you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And He will forgive you of your sin. If you come humbly and trust in Him, He will forgive you. And that's what we're here excited about. That's why we gather here together. That's why we come here and we can praise. And because some of us, we've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been restored. That fellowship that I had broken through my sin, I have restored it with Jesus Christ because of what He did on the cross for me. And now I want to sing and praise Him and thank Him. And man, following His word has given me a good life.
Amen.
And I have hope of eternal life with Him.
Amen.
Boy. All because when I was in wickedness, He spoke to me. He reached out to me. He made the effort and He allowed me to come humbly and pray and He accepted me. He heard me. He heard my cry and He can do that for you today.
Amen.
Will you accept the Lord or will you reject Him? Are you going to harden your heart? When He speaks, don't be like the children of Israel. Don't be like Manasseh that says they would not hearken. Listen to Him. The mercy that He has, even in the affliction that He sends, is to save your soul. So listen when He speaks, because He's seeking your benefit. Let's go ahead and stand and finish out with a hymn.